Good afternoon. Our learning today should be a schus ila nishma sader chaver chaim elazar ben shimshon arye, as well as a schus for an ila nishama for Rabbi Yaakov Yosef and Rechaim Menachem ben Zion. Should also be a schus for a refu shlema for Chaim Moshe Shua ben Malka Chaim de ben Menarachol Chanalei Abashen de Rachol and Abadati ben Peril, as well as a schus for all those in a makam sakan in Eretz Yisrael and those who are risking their lives to protect it. So today we are going to do a very interesting topic. It's in Peleoids, but it's going to be completely different than what we've done before. And those of you who have been with me since we did Time of Devaira, you'll recall that one of the concepts we did in Time of Devaira, when we finished the first perek, we started to talk about things going on in Shemayim and things in Shemayim that influence. When you do something on this world, it influences things in the next world. This topic that we're going to do today is unusual for Peleoids because it's more of a Kabbalistic type of idea, and it's more above what things that we normally contemplate on a day to day. So he'll have a nice little summary at the end about how do you deal with this on a daily basis. But let's talk the topic itself. So we're on page 333. The topic is called Be'er, which means to extract, like the malacha of Be'er, which is extracting. Mefarik, well, really, I guess the malach is mefarik, but it's the same thing. And here we're talking about the idea of extracting kedusha in the world, meaning from things in the world that are mundane, you extract the kedusha in them. So he says like this: Yadua, it's well known, shakol biyasa adam loy lemazeh, that the person's entire mission in this world, the chalagaluyo shanu saivlim, and the fact that we're in galus. You know, Be'er once asked a great question. He said, imagine you have a boy that's in yeshiva, and the Rebbe throws him out, but the Rebbe throws him out for the rest of the year. In other words, he's bad on like the first week, and the Rebbe tells him to spend the rest of the day in the hall. You know, you would say at a certain point that there's something wrong with that picture. What are you punishing? How is the punishment so much more severe than the good? And if you look at the good times, the golden times in Klal Yisrael's history, when you add in the Galus Mitzrayim, the Galus Bavel, and the Galus Rome that we're in now, you know, we're spending a lot more time in the hallway than we are in Eretz Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash. So something seems wrong with the picture. And this is really the idea. Why are we spending so much time in Galus? What's our goal for being in Galus so long? What is it that God wants us to do? Why is this part of the mission? Like, we're missing the Ikar. If the Ikar in this world is to be in Eretz Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash, so why did that last? Ideally, the ideal situation with the real Beis HaMikdash and the Arid, that only lasted 410 years, and then the rest of our existence, we sort of been out in the hole. So he says, "Hakol hu kedei lebara nitzaytze hakedusha shenispazu ben aklipos." He says that the idea is that we are spread out in the world because we are supposed to gather all the sparks of kedusha that were spread out in the world, and we're supposed to elevate them and capture them and reconnect them to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And that really is the mission. He says, "When Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, so he shattered a dish. He shattered a dish into a billion, billion pieces. And those pieces are spread all out through the world. And we have to go now and capture these sparks wherever they are in the world. And right now they're connected to Tuma. And we have to go and elevate them and reconnect them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu." So as I said, anytime you're going to talk about Klipos, you're going to say this is like a esoteric type of idea. It's a little bit, it's a little bit Kabbalistic. It is. But nevertheless, it is something that we keep in mind because it does have ramifications to us. It says and it says that as a mindset, that's why we're in Galus, because our goal is to really spread out and capture all of the Nitzotzei Kedusha and bring them together so that when we're Zaychet to Mashiach, the Kedusha has been reconnected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ones who really, really their entire life is guided by this principle is really Chabad. That's why Chabad is going out there. You know, Chafetz Chaim goes out there. We do Kiruv, but nowhere on the level of, you know, we're not in these random countries, random places like Chabad is. Chabad goes to all these random places because of this idea of capturing the Nitzotzei Kedusha wherever they are. And so the Rebbe's Mahalich was that if you found yourself and you missed your flight, let's say you had a connecting flight and you were in, I don't know, somewhere in Missouri, and there's no kosher food around, there's no minyan around, and you missed your connection, and now you have to spend the night, and you have to daven there without a minyan. So most people would be upset. But the Rebbe would tell people, no, Your shlichas by HaKadosh Baruch Hu was to capture the Nitzotzei Kedusha in that airport or in that place in Missouri, and that was an opportunity that you used. And so he says that's really the tafkid of all of us in Golus, is to capture these Nitzotzei Kedusha. V'lechein tzarech lechavin. He says, and therefore you should have this in mind. Anytime you eat and drink, eating and drinking in and of itself, said many times, is a physical action. It's fully gashmius, and yet even that can be elevated to ruchnius. How? By making a bracha, by not eating too much, by following hilchos kashrus, by benching. So all these opportunities surrounding eating and drinking can elevate it. I'm sorry, and a person should know this as a philosophy, as an attitude, that any time you're in a tough situation in Galus, for example, Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael was attacked on October 7th. How do we view that? Well, that's a terrible situation. That the people were just able to be slaughtered and shechted like that without any recourse, any humanity, any rachmanas. Hakol hu tayel es gadol inyan zeh. He says it's all connected to this. The suffering that we do in Golus itself is part of this idea. V'lechein tzarech lekablinu ba'ava. A person has to accept these nisyonos with love. Ki hakol ka'ayin neged ava sabayre. Everything is worthless in comparison to the extent of the love that Hashem has, and when you compare it with the opportunity that we have to give nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'ein l'fan of nachas ruach gadol yois mizeh. He says there's no greater pleasure in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the pleasure of extracting the Nitzotzei HaKedusha and reconnecting them. They are like neshamos that are lost, and we take them and we reconnect them to the source. So he says, "V'shekol haneshamos v'nitzotzei haKedusha, all neshamos inside of us, and all of these sparks of kedusha, heim chelek elikam mimal. They are parts of Hashem. So it's kaviyachol. The way we look at it is, when I gave you the example of the shattered plate, that plate is an extension of God, and they are all throughout the world. And when we reconnect them with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're bringing Nachas Ruach to Hashem. Ulamaz Adavar Daima, he says, what's it comparable to? The Melech Shebanav Yedidav Halchu Shevi Biyatsar. A king that his dear children were taken into captive by an enemy. The Yoshim Vemakim Tzar Choshech Vitzamavis, they're sitting in darkness in the shadow of death. Shagadol Tzar Melech, the king is terribly pained, right? Think of the hostages now, where the parents can't live a moment of peace because they're just imagining the terrible suffering that their relatives are going through. And if somebody goes and rescues the children of the king, how much the king is going to reward him and appreciate it, pay him with a reward. So when the sparks are the captives, and when we go and rescue them and reconnect them, so now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why it gives so much joy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says to the extent that we can understand it, but this is the mashal that he gives us. And he says, obviously, there's a lot of this that is, you know, goes back and is way beyond our understanding. When we know Tishma Kamakadala Ra'achet, he says, now from this we can understand how great is why an avera is so bad. What's so bad about it? Because he's saying that you are now giving koyach, you're sort of setting us back. When you do a mitzvah, you take a step forward. When you do an avera, you're not just not moving forward, but you're taking a step back. You are now taking klipos in the world, and you're connecting things in this world to the koyach hatumah, to the sitra achra. Ubeprat b'chei shech vazer levatala. He says specifically the chet of shech vazer levatala. Why? Because zera has something more than anything else in the world. When a person has zera, that represents neshamais. They're neshamais that can come out into the world, and obviously when it fertilizes with an egg, it creates life. But when a person is mevatel, he's not just taking klipas, but he's taking actual neshamais, and he's connecting them to the sitra achra. So that's why the sin of zera levatola is worse than other averish. Goyrim shetashayk a klipa, neshamais kidoyishais. He says you cause the klipas to connect with neshamas. It's not just pieces of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's neshamas in their own right. And you're taking things that inherently have kedusha, and you are now ripping the kedusha off and connecting it with Toma. How much pain it causes Hashem. You are imprisoning new captives. You're creating new cat. You're taking new neshamas and you're capturing them. Now again, very hard to understand exactly what's going on. How does this mean? Zera is a piece of me. It's a physical being. How does that impact HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Again, there's an aspect of this that definitely is beyond our understanding. But just to give us on our minuscule level, on whatever little level we can understand, that in some way it is a negative to the Shechina. The Noyakim Nakas Cholol, and he says one second. Oh, we're putting them in danger, basically locking up someone and putting him in danger. The Shechina cries out. One of the Lashonot from Yirmiyahu that we say as a kina, if my head would be full of water, the Eini Mekardima, my eyes full of tears, a spring of tears, the Efke Yaman Velaylas Hali Basami, and I would cry all day and night for the slain of my people, right? Referring now. Scary, referring to the zera that was spilled, the Shechina is crying out and saying, says let the groaning of the prisoners come before you and spear those condemned to die, meaning davening, I guess, for again the zera. A person should be frightened and it should unsettle him. Like this, if you understand what's going on in Shemayim, it would frighten you to the point where you would run away from Averis and run to do mitzvahs. Says, and be very careful in terms of making brachas before eating and drinking. In that way, you're able to extract what we said, extract the kedusha from things that you eat. Therefore, a person should be careful to say them properly. Because if you don't, then it's considered like you are destroying a life. Now, here's the bottom line. Okay, so just to sum it up here, we talked about a very high ideal. The idea of that everything you do is either, you know, giving nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or causing tremendous suffering to the Shechina. And we talk specifically about certain areas in a person's life where a person has to try to make more of an effort. Okay, but at the end of the day, we have to be normal people. You can't allow this to take over your life because otherwise you won't be able to move. You'll have such anxiety and such panic that, oh my gosh, yeah, I did an Aveira. I said a piece of Lashon Hara, I lost myself. Wow, all the klipas that I did on HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry and the Shechina is crying and all these things and it can make a person have panic attacks and need to go on anxiety medication. He says, so therefore, you don't take this and that this rules your life. Because if you do, you're going to become someone who's going to lose his mind. But rather, to the extent that you can, try to do things properly. But understand that you're a human being with severe limitations, and you can't live your life where every moment of your life, you're keeping in mind that, this idea of Beirur and this idea of Nitzotze Kedusha. Try to the extent that you can to do things properly. And when a person applies themselves like this, that will allow the Yeshua to flourish in our days. Amen. Okay, so again, a little bit of a callback, I would say, to our days in time of Devaira, but an idea nonetheless that, at points in a person's life, this is another tool in your toolbox. You know, sometimes you have you heard a good piece of Musar, or you learned the halacha and it motivates you. And sometimes you're just not feeling it. This could be another tool that you have to motivate you. Sometime when you're being pulled in a certain direction to say, you know what, I am now dedicating this moment, this choice that I am to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in that way, bringing Nachas Ruach to him. Okay, let's stop here.